Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Midland, Michigan, earned a BS degree in chemistry from Hope College, and a master's in public administration from Harvard. From 1983 to 85, he was a chemist for Dow Chemical Company, and from 97 to 2001, he was a charter school administrator. He then served 12 years in the Michigan legislature from 2003 to 2014. Since 2015, he's been a U.S. congressman, currently serving Michigan's 2nd District. His name, Congressman John Molinar. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Congressman John Molinar. Currently, he's a U.S. congressman serving Michigan's 2nd District. Congressman, welcome. An honor to have you.
Oh, thank you, Jack. Good to be with you today.
Can we start by talking about your childhood, Midland, Michigan, mom and dad?
Sure. I grew up in Midland, Michigan. My parents both came to Michigan from Indiana, where they both grew up on farms. Molinar is a name. It's a Dutch name, which means of the mill, which kind of goes back to my grandfather who came from the Netherlands, and I think they were windmill operators. So that was kind of the heritage. My dad came as a chemist. He was a PhD chemist with Dow Chemical, and that's what brought us to Midland, Michigan, where Dow is headquartered. And growing up there, it was a wonderful childhood, enjoyed sports. It helped to have a father who was a chemist to kind of get me through math and science. But it's a wonderful community to grow up in, and my parents are both still living and living there today.
What's the biggest thing, John, you learned from mom? And what's the biggest thing you learned from dad?
Well, I'd say my mother was a very faithful homemaker, very caring, always checking in with her kids and trying to help us stay on the right track. She was someone who very much is a person of prayer, and so she and we put her through a lot. So she prayed a lot for her children. And my father was very hardworking. He was also someone who loved to garden. You know, his goal was always to have a hobby farm. My mom's goal was always to get off the farm. And so they compromised by having the biggest farm in the city of Midland, Michigan. So, but he was always someone who very faithful as a leader in church, very involved, a little league coach in the community, those kinds of things. Just had a good perspective on working hard, but also enriching the lives of those around him.
All right, so he was your little league coach. He must have been very good, because when you went to Hope College, some people say you were a fantastic baseball player.
Well,
how good were you?
Well, I loved baseball. I loved basketball. I got the opportunity to play both in high school and a little bit in college. I would say my ability kind of ran out at the college level, so I was never excelled at that level. But, you know, I look back on it and just the friendships you make, being part of teams, to me it was all very much worth it. And growing up, those were my heroes, the people in sports and the Detroit Tigers in 1968. That was something that I will always remember and could probably name the players one after another. And those are the kinds of things as a kid growing up mean so much.
All right. You got a degree in chemistry from Hope and then a master's in public administration from Harvard. And from 1983 to 85, you were a chemist for Dow Chemical, the famous Dow Chemical. Tell us about that iconic company.
Well, you know, it started as a family business, an individual who was an entrepreneur who learned about the resources, the brine resources in Midland, Michigan, and then developed that into a very successful chemical company that's now very much a global powerhouse. And you know, growing up there were still a lot of family roots of the Dow family who you know, when you consider such a small town, but the amenities that were created by that economic engine, whether it's a center for the arts or a beautiful tennis facility or other facilities, all because that company located there and people gave back to the community.
Speaking of giving back to the community, from 1995 to 2000, Dow's chairman and CEO was Bill Stavropoulos. And he gave back something to the community because in 2006, he was the founder and president of the Great Lakes Loons baseball team, the L.A. Dodgers minor league team. What do you say about Bill Stavropoulos?
Oh, he's an amazing person, a community leader. He obviously led the company through some amazing times, but also stayed so involved in the community. I was there when they broke ground for the new stadium, the Dow Diamond. Tommy Lasorda, 1 year later, flew out to help dedicate the stadium. Opening day, we had Clayton Kershaw on the mound. So a lot of exciting things there for the Great Lakes Loons. And Lance Parrish was the manager at that time. So it was a lot of fun to be part of that. And they've continued to really bless that community with the Great Lakes Loons ever since.
Speaking of that community, Midland, also Grand Rapids, terrific combination between the political, the business, the major families in the area. Talk about what that did for Midland.
Well, when I think of the leadership that we've had over the years, you know, John Engler at one point was our state senator. Bill Schuette, Dave Camp have been, you know, were my predecessors.
John Molinar, too?
Well, I followed in their footsteps and was very fortunate. They laid a strong foundation. We have Northwood University there, and I know you know Keith Pretty. And, you know, Northwood has had such a strong tradition promoting the free enterprise and getting people to really understand the foundations of business. And the Mackinac Center for Public Policy has brought so much to our state of Michigan. So a lot of wonderful things, and that all came from leadership, people who were willing to step up and be involved.
We're talking to Congressman John Molinar. When we come back, we're going to go back to 1990. John Engler decided to run for governor of Michigan. We'll pick it up there. And I'm Jack Russell, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm host Jack Brasula. We're talking to Congressman John Molinar, who was a chemist for Dow Chemical Company in the mid-80s. 1990, John. John Engler decides to run for governor of Michigan, and somebody convinced you should run for his Michigan seat. How and why?
I think I convinced myself, Jack. Well, you know, it was an interesting time. You had Bill Schuette had been our congressman. He was going to run for the U.S. Senate in 1990. Dave Camp was our state representative. He was going to run for Congress. John Engler running for the governorship opened the Senate seat. And I was kind of somewhat involved in politics. I'd worked for Bill Lucas on his gubernatorial campaign. But, you know, I had gone back to school, got a graduate degree from the Kennedy School of Government, and I thought this would be an opportunity, an open seat to run for that state Senate seat. And it went really well for about 8 months. And then it kind of took a dip and ended up losing in the primary.
And at that time, Amy was telling you to run for milk and coffee for her and the sick kids as well.
Well, so at that point, we were not married, and so I didn't even know Amy at that point. I would say, you know, I lost my first campaign, but I've won 11 since I've been married to Amy, so there may be something there to that.
You met a man named Mike Timmis. You went to meet him, asking him for money.
Yes.
You lost that, but you gained a phenomenal friend in Mike Timmis. Tell us about Mike Timmis.
Well, I had known of Mike because he was very involved with Bill Lucas's campaign when I worked on that campaign, and always heard about him. Amazing story about him, but I ended up talking with him about my state Senate campaign, and I remember to this day meeting in his office and talking with him about how I was going to win this state Senate seat. And John Engler had been the senator and was Senate Majority Leader, and I was kind of charting out my path that I thought I was going to take. And he was very kind to me, very generous, supported me. And then I lost the campaign, and I will never forget a mutual friend of ours had invited me to spend some time with some of the leaders of the National Prayer Breakfast down in Washington, D.C. And in some respects, the last place you want to be after losing a campaign is Washington, D.C., where everybody asks, what do you do? But I went down there, and was really a pivotal time for me in my faith, and actually started helping out, caring for basically a building called the Cedars, where Mike had been involved. And one day he drove up, and he saw me out there. I was taking care of the lawn.
You were raking leaves.
I was raking leaves and trying to figure out what I was going to do next in my life. And quite frankly, I was a little embarrassed at first, because here I was, 29 years old, lost a campaign, didn't know what I was going to do next. And here's one of my major supporters who, you know, came up, and I'll never forget him saying, you know, John, I don't know what God's doing in your life, but God's economy is different than our economy, and I'm just so glad you're here and doing what you're doing, and gave me a hug. And I thought that was amazing to see, just his kindness and encouragement at that time was tremendous.
All right. Then God decided that you should spend an hour or so every day for 2 years one-on-one with this Mike Timmis in his office. He mentored you for 2 years. People would die for that. What did you learn from Mike Timmis?
Oh, my gosh. Mike, you know, a mutual friend of ours encouraged us to meet together. And I think the way he phrased it was, you know, you guys can walk together as brothers in Christ. And, of course, I had no idea really what that meant. And so Mike was kind enough and generous enough with his time, where he would take me through the scriptures and principles of Jesus' teachings. And here was someone who, you know, he's a successful attorney, businessman. You know, he wasn't a religious leader, but I saw in him someone who took his faith very seriously. And this love of God, love of others, being the driving purpose in his life. And he spent time instilling that in me. And for, to this day, I'm grateful for that. And it laid an important foundation for me.
I think the person that brought you together was a man named Doug Coe.
Yes.
Unbelievable man, an ambassador of Jesus Christ's love. Tell us about this Doug Coe.
Well, Doug was someone who really looked at the scriptures and tried to understand Jesus' teachings. And, you know, many of us view Jesus through a religious lens. And Doug was very much someone who would say, let's go to the primary documents, the scriptures, and really see what Jesus, how he lived his life as a man, what he taught, what his principles were, and then kind of had given him his life to really teaching those principles to others. And whether it was people in government, he met with some of the world leaders, but he also would spend time, you know, I would meet a cab driver who would spend an hour with Doug Coe learning about Jesus. I remember when Dan Quayle came and visited one time and spoke at an event, I said, well, do you know Doug Coe? And he said, you know, the thing I love about Doug is he's always teaching me new things about Jesus. And I would hear that message over and over from people of all walks of life, regardless of whether they were, you know, he spent time with Mother Teresa, he'd spend time with, you know, religious leaders, business leaders, political leaders, but also spent time with me, an unemployed, losing political candidate, and instilled these values. And he and Mike shared that time with me, which I'm to this day very grateful.
Well, I owe Doug Coe, Mike Timmis, our mutual friend Chuck McLeod.
Yes.
What they taught me, John, was that each of our best friend, it's the same person. It's Jesus.
Yeah.
A relationship with this person named Jesus.
And I grew up in the church. I knew of Jesus. I believed in Jesus. But I would also say that I viewed it very much as a Sunday activity for 1 hour a week, and thinking about Jesus rather than this idea of devoting my life as a follower of Jesus to his teachings, to being available for his purposes. And that's what I learned from these friends who were so dedicated for that.
We're talking to Congressman John Molinar, and in 1997, he joined the Midland City Council for 4 years. And then when we come back, we're going to talk about him being a member of the Michigan House of Representatives. And I'm Jack Pasula, and this is Anything is Possible on 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula. We're with Congressman John Molinar. From 2003 to 2008, you were a member of the Michigan House of Representatives. Talk about that chapter.
Well, that was a special time. I got elected in 2002 and served 6 years in the House and then 4 years in the state Senate. And you know, we went through some challenging times back in that period for Michigan. We had lost a lot of people, a lot of jobs, and the whole goal was to rebuild and bring our economy back and bring people back to Michigan. And so, you know, I was pleased to be part of that. I worked on a number of different priorities that were related to my district. One of them was groundwater conflict resolution, which to this day, you know, it sounds it doesn't sound like it would impact that many people, but when it comes to water, you know, Mark Twain said, whiskey is for drinking, water is for fighting, and it's really true. But, you know, I felt good that we were part of moving Michigan forward. Obviously, in the 2010, Rick Snyder became governor, and we got our budget in order, the fiscal house in order. But really, it's the people you serve with, and you hope to move the ball forward for our state, and I think we put it on a better direction.
We're talking to Congressman John Molinar. 2015, you become a congressman. You go to Washington, D.C. 2015 to 2022, 8 years, you served Michigan's 4th District, kind of mid-Michigan, Midland, et cetera, and talking about water, one day, okay, May 19th, 2020, Midland got too much water.
Yes.
Tell us about dam breaking.
Well, it was a shocking thing. My wife and I, we were actually evacuated because there are 4 lakes that are northwest of Midland. And there are dams that protect each of those lakes, and 2 of those dams failed. And so it led to basically Wixom Lake, Sanford Lake, being completely emptied by these dam failures, and then the water rushing down where 11,000 people had to be evacuated, and tremendous flooding in Midland and parts of Saginaw County. And thankfully, no lives were lost, no serious injuries, but a lot of damage to the communities. And to this day, they are working at trying to figure out how to restore those lakes. I mean, you know, beautiful lakes, people with cottages and homes all around those lakes. Now it's more of a marsh or a field, and you can drive over it on US 10 and see it. But there's some really strong leadership that are helping to pull things together, and I believe those lakes will reappear in the next few years.
We're talking to Congressman John Molinar. Congressman, what amazed you the most about the Midland community through that 500-year flood?
It's a beautiful thing to, you know, when people go through these trials, to see the resilience and people coming together to help one another, neighbor helping neighbor. I remember walking through and seeing homes where the mud was, you know, all the way through the house. You know, you'd have, you know, one place where a car floated down and smashed into a building. I mean, it's just devastating. But to see the way people, you know, help people clean out their homes, they're rebuilding, it really shows the resilience and the human spirit that is so encouraging to see.
Okay, let's go June 14th, 2017. You're trying to be young again, early in the morning, practicing with some of your congressmen on a baseball field.
Well, the congressional baseball game, it goes back 100 years, tradition, Democrats, Republicans. That morning we were practicing. It was before 7 in the morning. We'd get out early before the day. And it's a very competitive practice. And Steve Scalise and others were on the field that day practicing. I still remember he was just ripping the ball in batting practice. And then we went to different positions. I went to the batting cages, was there. Rand Paul was there. And we heard a sound that sounded, I've never heard anything that loud at 7 in the morning. And at first I'm thinking it's a car backfiring or something, but then the next thing you hear is someone who yells shooter, and at that point then just hundreds of relentless rounds with a high-powered weapon were being shot at people, including Steve and Michigan's Matt Mica, both hit that day. And, you know, I'll never forget that day. It was traumatic. You know, you could hear the bullets whizzing by and, you know, hitting different places. And most of us, you know, for quite some period, didn't know what was happening. Were we under assault by, you know, someone from above? Or it turns out the shooter was along the third baseline firing at us across the field. And but thankfully, the only person who lost their life that day was the shooter. Credit the Capitol Police who, you know, took him out. And everybody else, Steve Scalise has recovered in an amazing way. Matt Mica, who was laying, looked like someone who had died, has made a full recovery, and he continues to help us, both continue to help with the baseball team.
Mm-hmm. All right. Since 2023, you've moved to the area in Michigan that you're serving. Now, it's the second district, and it includes Elgin, Van Buren counties, as well as portions of Ottawa, Kalamazoo, Calhoun, and Berrien counties. Why did you move?
Well, the redistricting commission, we went from 14 down to 13 representatives in Congress, and the commission came up with new maps and basically split the 4th district, which I had represented, into 5 different congressional districts. And so it was going to be a matter of which one to run in. My wife is from Grand Rapids, and so I had promised her for over 25 years that if we could ever live closer to her family, we would. And as it happened, I had represented about half of the new second district. And so it made a lot of sense, even though it meant leaving my hometown of Midland. It was closer to her family. It was a good district. I represented more of that district than other districts, and we made the decision. So we now live in Caledonia, just outside of Grand Rapids.
Okay. We mentioned the name Keith Priddy.
Yes.
A great friend of both of ours. And I called Keith, and he says, Jack, John Molinar is an American citizen who is one of us. Tell us about Keith Priddy.
Well, first, he's an amazing person. You know, he's led Northwood University and did so much for the community as well as the university. But he also played football and
for the Packers.
For the Packers, a tremendous athlete, big guy, and he's just that combination of being very sharp intellectually, very relational. And then just good core values. Someone just I admire tremendously, and we were just very fortunate to have him as leader of Northwood University.
All right. Mike Timmis recently wrote his second book, The Journey to Ultimate Friendship. And he mentions you in the book. John is a very special legislator. Ever since he entered politics, he's been a reconciler. That's old school. It's the Hetfields and the McCoys, John. Now it's us and them. You're a reconciler?
Well, I try to be. You know, I think of when I look at the Lincoln Memorial and you see his second inaugural speech there on the wall, he talks about, you know, bringing the country back together. And that was right during the midst of the Civil War that he was still thinking that way. And to me, we've got a great country. Jesus calls us to be ambassadors of reconciliation. And that doesn't mean you agree on every issue. In fact, there can be very divisive issues. But I think if we have a spirit of reconciliation, that our goal is to build friendships, to work together where we can. Obviously, there are some areas where you can't. But to have a positive environment where things can get done, to me, that's what a legislature should be about. And I aspire to that. It's hard sometimes. And, you know, there are some issues where you just aren't going to come to an agreement and you're going to fight it out in the legislative political process. But to whatever extent, you know, I admired, you know, Tip O'Neill, Ronald Reagan. They fought like cats and dogs over policy, but they actually had a friendship. And when Ronald Reagan was shot and was in the hospital recovering, Nancy Reagan had Tip O'Neill come to his bedside, and he actually said a prayer. To me, that's a real model for leadership. And as a country, we need that kind of leadership.
We're talking to Congressman John Molinar. He not only talks the good game, he lives the good game. And speaking of living, when he goes to Washington, D.C., he lives at C Street. Friends, there's 10 members of Congress that live in this one building. Half of them are Democrats, half of them are Republicans. That's the Hatfields and the McCoys living together. When we come back, we're going to talk about how does that work. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR.
Jack Rasula, host of WJR's Anything Is Possible, the weekly radio visit, brings his 15 years of inspirational storytelling to hardcover. With God, anything is possible.
Anything is possible.
15 of Jack's more than 750 tales of defeating odds and achieving the extraordinary. Like Bob Woodruff, whose job covering the war in Iraq nearly cost him his life. And Nick Vujicic, the limbless evangelist who has stunned millions with his message of acceptance and grace. With God, anything is possible. Order now while signed copies are still available at trustinusllc.square.site. That's trustinusllc.square.site. And as Jack says,
make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohol. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Congressman John Molinar. Congressman, the name of this show is Anything Is Possible, with God. But it's impossible that 10 members of Congress live together in one building, one house, half are Democrats, half are Republicans. How does that work?
Well, the one thing, you know, we were talking about Mike Timmis earlier and Doug Coe, is they had this vision. They looked at what William Wilberforce in a community did in Great Britain as, you know, in the 1800s, this idea of kind of a community who love God, love one another. And they thought, you know, wouldn't it be great if there was a place on Capitol Hill where members could get together, get to know each other as human beings, encourage one another in their faith, in their work, but let the politics divide. And so, you know, when it came down to it, they had this vision. And Mike and Nancy Timmis, who have been so generous over the years, you know, in the Detroit area, around the world, in different countries, decided to support this vision of purchasing a place, giving it to a foundation, who then could rent rooms to members of Congress who would stay. And What we've agreed to do is on Tuesday nights, we have a dinner together, and it's Republicans and Democrats. Sometimes we'll bring a guest. And the idea is to focus on things of an encouraging nature, encouraging each other in our faith, with our families, try and get to know each other as human beings, not simply a party label. We don't talk a lot of politics. And to me, those are some of the best friendships you can have, where you get to know each other as human beings rather than just a political entity.
All right, speaking of faith, 70 years ago in 1953, the National Prayer Breakfast was started. It's always the first Thursday of February. It just happened a couple weeks ago, February 1st. Tell us about the National Prayer Breakfast.
Well, this is something that really happened over the years when President Eisenhower was president and found that that was the loneliest place in the world to be, in the Oval Office. And he had a friend, Senator Frank Carlson from Kansas, and Senator Carlson met with a group of senators, and Eisenhower asked if he could be part of that. And so Eisenhower started meeting with the senators. Eventually, the House members wanted to get involved. And then they thought, you know, this is such an encouraging experience, helping each other grow in our faith, studying some scripture, thinking about Jesus' teachings. Why don't we open this up to people outside of this little group? And so out of that became the National Prayer Breakfast. And since that time, people from 140 different countries have come. World leaders have attended. Mother Teresa spoke. They've had all sorts of people participate. Now, it's gone through kind of a change where now we're kind of getting back to those original roots, where we're actually meeting in the Capitol Rotunda area, the Statuary Hall, trying to re-engage members of Congress, House and Senate, with the president, to kind of get back to that more intimate time of fellowship. And then over time, I think it'll get broader again. But this idea of really kind of getting to know each other as human beings, seeing the good, trying to nurture the good, and hopefully leading to a better country.
Okay. Dr. Larry Arn, president of Hillsdale College. I quote him now. 9 out of 10 quote-unquote laws today are not made in Congress. The courts and government employees in various departments make all these laws. Your thoughts?
Well, that the administrative state is a very concerning trend in our government. Congress has given up too much power to the executive branch. Often, you know, if it's your party in charge, you kind of like that. If it's not, then you don't. But at the end of the day, you know, there's a lot of governing and laws that take place because of rules, administrative rules or executive orders that really are not accountable to the American people the way Congress is. And so I've been an advocate to say Congress ought to take back its Article 1 authority, do less in the way of executive orders, but rather focus on let's Congress solve problems rather than having the administrative state running the show, which is not accountable to the American people.
We're talking to Congressman John Molinar, an outstanding reconciler. There's so much divisiveness in the world today, between family members. If there's a listener tonight that's got a brother, a sister, a son, a daughter, a parent, that they're not talking to each other, what do you say to those people?
Well, the most powerful experiences I've had is when I've had the chance to listen to someone and really understand their story, understand their point of view. We do that every Thursday morning in the Capitol, where 1 week a Republican will speak, the next week a Democrat. They'll just tell their story, kind of what brought them to that point, what matters to them in life. And it's very hard to demonize or to belittle someone who you, once you've heard their story and gotten to know them as a human being. And to me, whether it's families, whether it's political divisions, the more we can just get to know each other, not simply have the debate, but try and understand and look for areas of common agreement to build upon rather than just the areas of division. I think really that moves the ball forward, creates trust, where when there are divisions, then hopefully that other person will take the time to listen as well. And so to me, that's a good prescription for positive relationships.
You have served first the people of Michigan, the people of Midland, for nearly 20 years. What are you the proudest of, John?
Well, I'm just proud that I have the opportunity to serve our, you know, in first case, my community, then the state, now our country. It truly is an honor. I would say the friendships that we've built, you know, through these, the prayer breakfast, the relationships, to me, that has been enriching. And, you know, when you look at specific legislative things, I'm glad we were part of a Michigan turnaround in terms of getting our fiscal house in order. And hopefully we can bring more people wanting to come to our state and help our state thrive. But at the end of the day, it's kind of like sports. You know, you do the best on the field. You try and accomplish everything you set out to do. But what you remember is the friendships, the relationships. And it's the people that you interact with, whether they're constituents or people you serve with, that's kind of what I remember.
You and your wife, Amy, have six of the greatest natural resource in America, young children, young people. What advice do you give to our young listeners tonight?
Well, first of all, I'm very proud of our kids. And when I was young, if the one piece of advice that I would have wished I would have taken is reading the Proverbs. You know, they're written by King Solomon, you know, the wisest king. There's 31 Proverbs chapters. And so if you read one of those chapters every day, over time, you become so familiar with those Proverbs that you've got that wisdom all in mind. And as a young person, I would say that's probably one of the most valuable investments of your time you could make.
Congressman John Molinar, you are a true reconciler and a great evangelist for this person, Jesus. Keep up the great work.
Thank you, Jack. Wonderful to be with you.
Please join us next week. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohem.
Believe in yourself.